You guys ready for the Word of God? We're in a series called Joseph, and I forgot what part it is. It's long. It's seven. It's part seven. I didn't forget. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 39:19, and let's read this together. Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into prison where the king's prisoners were held. And there he remained. And this is a great part. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph in prison a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything. Say everything. Everything that happened in that prison. Can I present to you the idea that Joseph had an opportunity to run away here? Everything. The keys are part of everything. The keys to his shackles, to the stocks on his feet, were in Joseph's hands. And yet, he stays in there. Probably close to 10 years. 8 to 10 years. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Can you prosper in prison? Can you succeed in prison? If the Lord is with you. Or maybe we're not reading that from the Bible. No, it is. It is in the Bible. Success is in the Bible. Next verse, or that's it? No, because everything he did to succeed. Next verse is John 12:24. John 12:24. Unless the seed, it says. Do we have that one? Did our computer get stuck? All right, awesome. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat or a seed is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Today I want to talk to you on a topic called blessed in the darkness. Blessed in the prison. Joseph was thrown into a dark, wet prison. Have you ever felt like life has thrown you into a dark, wet place? Because what Joseph experienced in prison, most likely you and I will experience in our lives. Prison is a season of darkness where God tests you like no other time. Will you curse God and die, or will you worship God even in the hardest moments of your life? Will you quit, or will you surrender? Will you quit, or will you surrender? I remember when we were going through a difficult, dark season of our life. We weren't in prison, but we were going through a dark season of our life. We were in our early 20s and God called us to plant a church, so we were excited. We planted a church and nobody started coming. And nobody was getting saved. And we were so faithful. We were like fasting and praying. We were coming in the morning at 6 a.m. every day of the week and dragging half of our young people with us. I don't know how we made young people come with us to prayer at 6 a.m. I'm thinking about it now. It was crazy faith we had. And so we thought because we prayed and fasted and believed God, God is going to automatically do great things for us. But instead of leading us into mountaintops, God led us into prison and valleys and dark season of our life. I remember we planted a church. We didn't have any kids. And finally, we got pregnant. My wife was really wanted a baby. I was like, I grew up in there were seven boys in my family. I was the oldest, so I seen them all born, six of them. Well, some. And so I was like, okay, kids are great, but we can wait. But my wife was like, I want a baby. Plus, her sister got pregnant, and sister is younger. And And we couldn't get pregnant for a long time. And then she got pregnant, and 12 weeks passes. We buy flowers, we buy the cake, and we go to my mom's and dad's house. And we bring flowers and cakes, and mom is like, what's going on? What's going on? And we're like, you're going to be a grandma. This is going to be your first grandchild. We're so happy, excited, and everybody's hugging, and we're eating, and we're happy. And next week, we lose a baby. God, what's going on here? I'm faithful. We are fasting. We're praying. And that took us to a dark season again. And for me, it was hard. But for my wife, it was super devastating. It was hard. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know who to blame. She didn't know what to say. She would just be crying. And she would be eating and crying. Too real. I'm sorry. And then we get pregnant again. This time we don't tell anybody. We lose the second baby. And it's devastating. And we're like, God, we gave our life for you. We were in a church, and we had tons of friends, and we left all of that. And now we have no friends, and our family doesn't like us because we planted another church. And I mean, we went through a dark season of my life, of our lives. And I'm driven. How many of you here are driven, A-type personality? You want it now. And so when I thought God said, plant a church, it's going to grow, it's going to reach thousands of people, I thought, you know, here, I'll give you here, God, you know. And instead of a year, it was 10 years when nothing happened. It was a lonely, depressing, sometimes even suicidal, like, God, just take me home. This is embarrassing because you told people your dream, and here 10 years is going by and nothing is happening. And you're like, God, where are you? And so at that moment, I started hating God. Saved, hating God. Somebody asked Martin Luther, do you love God? Because he's like, love God? I hate God sometimes. So I'm not the only one. So that's why I'm saying it. I'm just... There was moments when I wanted to cuss at God. There was moments when I felt in this dark place. Ever felt like dark place? Nothing is happening. It's just cold and dark and alone. Oh, I remember having dreams in that season. And I must have had one dream in different variations of it 100+ times. You know what I was dreaming? I was dreaming about breaking out of prison. True story. Tanya knows this. And at first it was cool because I felt like every time I did break out of prison. And here's what I thought. Okay, maybe it's because I have this favorite show called Prison Break, remember? And I like that show, so maybe that's why I'm dreaming of prison breaks. But eventually it got tiring. Every night you're running. You're not resting. Your spirit is not, your soul is not resting. It's running. And I would wake up and sweat. And the thing about those experiences, that the prisons would change, but the experience would not change. Sometimes it would be in a desert, sometimes it would be in a forest, sometimes it would be in Middle East, sometimes it would be in America, sometimes it would be in Russian prison somewhere. All my fears were coming out of those. And one day I just got tired, and I was like, Lord, like every night I would have a prison break dream. And I was like, what's going on, God? What's going on? And finally the Lord revealed to me, just gave me an understanding. I believe it was a word of wisdom or word of knowledge from the Lord, from the Spirit of God that's within me. He said, you got to stop trying to break out of your prison season. You're trying to run out of the will of God. Next time you have that dream, say in the dream, I'm not running, I'm just going to do my time. I'm just going to do my time. And I didn't know how biblical it was till I was preparing for this series. When I realized that Joseph went through that season, I went through that season, and most likely you will or have already or will go through that season in your life. You will go through dark season where you want to run away. Jesus wanted to run away. Help me out. Jesus wanted to run away from that season. Nobody likes the prison season of their life. It's dark, it's moist, it's wet. Look at this. And Jesus said, Father, if it's possible, Matthew 26:38. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief
to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. 39, watch this. He went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Job's wife comes to Job and says, "You're suffering way too much. Curse God and die." Let me tell you this. If you are called to be a warrior for Christ, if you are called to be a soldier for God, you will go through the season of a prison. Here's what I found out. Season of prison is equivalent to a seed being planted in a black, dark, moist soil. Right? And some seed, it takes 3 days to germinate and start growing. And for some seed, up to 9 months. For example, a coconut will take about 6 months to germinate and sprout. Why? The harder the shell, the longer the breaking down process. And if you've been called for something, you have a hard shell, I can guarantee it. Here's what a hard shell means. I can do it, God. I have gifts. I have abilities. I've started a business before. And if I started a business, I can do church. No. The harder your shell, the longer the prison season will be. Do you remember who Joseph was? He recognized that he was a gifted young man at 17. He recognized that God has given him a big dream. He was cocky, arrogant, proud young man. So that's why it took so long for Joseph in prison. The soil had to break down the shell. And listen to this. Here's the biology of this. Some seed will not be able to germinate until the seed coat has been damaged. So that the water could enter the embryo so it could respire or breathe. How long will my season last, Pastor? I just can't shake this sickness. My marriage is in that dark season right now. My business is in that dark season. My personal relationship with you is in that dark season. Pastor, how long will this dark season last? How hard is your shell? And if you are a worrier, most likely you have a hard shell. Some of you are looking at your husbands. Hard shell. Hard shell. How hard is your shell? When I started the ministry, I thought, easy. I can do this. I really was arrogant. I mean, all of us are arrogant, but A-type personality is super arrogant. We just believe. I mean, I don't know, is it faith or is it, yeah, right? It's like, I can do this. And then at the end of 10 years, I can't. I thought I can, but I can, God. And if you're not going to do it, if your moisture, if the circumstances don't break my shell, if the moisture doesn't go inside, some of you are biologists, so you know this better, but if the moisture represents maybe the word, if your word doesn't come inside of me and makes me come alive, I will die. How many dreams have been dead because, number one, we didn't wait and got out of prison or got out of the dark season before God did finish this work? How many people quit church because life got hard and they said, I'm done with this. And God was almost done with the work in you and you got out of prison. And I said to myself, God, I'm just going to do that time. And I just will relax and I'm going to do my time. What are you going to do? Joseph had an opportunity to run away, but he stayed. He stayed in a prison. I also found out some cool facts that a coconut could grow into a palm tree. And in Colombia, a palm tree could grow to 197 feet tall. That's almost a 20-story building. In the United States, in California, we have redwoods or sequoias. They can grow to 370-plus feet tall. That's a 37-feet-tall building. If you, Here's a spiritual principle that Jesus understood, that Joseph understood. That's why he didn't run from prison. That Paul understood, that Moses understood. Although nothing is happening for Moses in the desert, God is breaking the hard shell of Moses. And here's the thing, God doesn't crush it, he just cracks it. So his glory could shine through these cracked vessels of clay. God has to crack it. Sometimes God has to crack it a little bit. Sometimes the only way he can make you a better man or a better woman is to allow some dark seasons in your marriage. He didn't cause it. He allowed it so he can crack you, so he can grow you, and so you can produce much fruit. Much fruit. Your enemy wants you to quit the season of darkness or the season of prison. God wants you to surrender. Your enemy wants you, they're different words. Your enemy wants you to quit. God wants you to surrender. I'm going to say it again. Hashtag facts. Your enemy wants you to quit. I'm done with God. I'm done with this process. I'm done with this dream. I'm done with this church. I'm done with this business, this marriage, this relationship. I'm done with. And God says, no, I don't want you to quit. I want you to surrender. Amen. Will you surrender to me? Will you surrender? God, I just can't shake this thing off me. This sickness, this whatever. God says, surrender. 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 I want to read to you a poem. Is that okay? It's by Anonymous, but I love it. I almost know it by memory, but let me see this. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man. When God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part. When he earns with all his heart to create so great and bold a man that all the world shall be amazed. Watch his methods, watch his ways. How he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects. Oh, I got goosebumps. How he hammers him and hurts him and with mighty blows converts him into trial shapes of clay which only God understands. While his tortured heart is crying and he lifts beseeching hands. How he bends but never breaks. When his good he undertakes. How he uses whom he chooses and which every purpose fuses him, by every act induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he's all about. Love that, love that, love that. God is in control in your prison. God is in control in your marriage. God is in control of your ministry. God is in control in your business. God is in control of your job. God is in control of your relationship. And God says, surrender. And that's what Jesus said, Father, if it's possible, meaning he thought about it, if it's possible for me to get out of this suffering. And then he says, nope. I know your patterns. I know your plans. I know your purposes. Do your work, God. Do your work, Father. And notice that wasn't the end. Jesus is hanging on a cross. One of the thieves, Satan uses a thief to tempt him to get down from the cross. He says, if you are the Messiah, if you are God, get down from the cross, save yourself and save us. Satan comes when it hurts the most. When the pain is crucial, when your marriage is hurts and God says, hang in there. And the devil says, get down from the cross. Your cross is too heavy. And I want you to be happy. And God, either he's not there or he doesn't want you to be happy. But I want you to be happy. You don't always do what makes you happy all the time. You do what's right. And here's a pattern that believer has to learn. This is a pattern of life. Is that when you find yourself in a dark moment and the door of prison might be a little bit open and you can run away, say, no, I'm going to be in the will of God. I remember saying to God, God, I want to quit. And he says, if you do, you will be out of my will. And I said, I don't want to be out of your will. It's already been 9 years. Why would I want to quit now? I paid too much. The price was way too much. So what does Joseph do? Does he sit there moan and groan and complain? Oh, how it's unfair and how he's a slave and how everything is bad. What does he do? No. Joseph continues to worship God. Bible says the Lord was with him. What does that mean? We've learned that in a previous installments. It means that Joseph was with the Lord. Here's how I see the Lord being with us. The Lord has a path, right? And as when I'm walking next to the Lord to the path, the Lord is with me and I'm with the Lord. But if I choose to go this way into the darkness, camera people, I'm in the dark right now, no lights. Online church, thank you for watching. If I choose to go in the dark right here, will the Lord follow me? No, the Lord will continue to follow the path of truth. The Lord is truth. So what it means is when I'm with the Lord is with us. Remember we read that in Deuteronomy, I think it was, the Lord is with us when we are with him. So when the Lord is, when I'm next to the Lord is with me. So when Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph, that means in the darkest moment of his life, he did not abandon the Lord. Joseph did not abandon the Lord. What do you do when life gets hard? I'm taking time off from church right now. It's just, I'm in a dark season. What? Hold on closer. Grab him by the arm and say, I ain't letting go. Or grab onto his garment and let him drag you. Grab onto the hem of his garment and let him drag you. Because I ain't leaving you. I can't walk. I can't crawl. But I can hang on. I can hang on. I'm going to hang on, Jesus. I'm going to hang on. So he continues to be with the Lord. The Lord was with Joseph. That means Joseph was with the Lord. All right. He continued to improve his spiritual gifts. He had a gift of administration. What do you do in the darkest? Do you give up and just start binging on Netflix? Because nothing, the Lord is not doing anything. So I might as well Netflix. Chill on Netflix. Oh, that's different. Okay, if you're married. That was for married people. Yeah. Pastor Andre says, your browsing history proved that what? That anyway. Come tell that joke quick. Come on, I started it. Come on, say that joke.
All right, 10 seconds of fame. All right. It's a meme. You all know that. You know the Maury Povich or whatever, the show? You know, it's a meme. Y'all, some of y'all seen that meme. It says, you say that you do not have time for the word of God every day. And then in the bottom, Maury says, your browsing history determined that was a lie.
Thank you. That was good. That was great. See, I told you it'd work. Let's do it in second service, too. Can we find that meme and actually put it on the next service. Thank you. I'm practicing on you guys. I'm practicing. It's going to get better. Some of you are like, what? Why was the sermon online different than the one I heard? Because that was rehearsal. That was practice. The second one was better. So he continues to improve his spiritual gifts. He doesn't just get depressed. He says, I want to be the best prison assistant warden there is. I'm going to do whatever I can to make the life of these prisoners better. It's easy to fall into self-pity in the moments of darkness, when marriage is hard, when your job is hard. But that's not what Joseph does. He continues to improve his skills. I think if he lived in our days, he would get every book possible on leadership because he was a leader. He would study everything, but he doesn't just study. He learns to work with people. In the 10 years when our church didn't grow even a bit, I learned to cherish people. Because when one sheep would leave our flock, you can tell. And so I grew up in a big church. I grew up in a church of like 2,000 people. So for us, one person leaves, whatever, you know. But in those 10 years, every sheep
Every member mattered and counted. If I didn't go through those 10 years, I could care less if you leave or if you're hurting. There's more people coming. But now, it's still painful to lose a member. I will call you and say, hey, what's up? I haven't seen you in church. And hear your excuse. It's not good. But I learned to cherish people because people matter. People count. So David says, it was good for me that I was afflicted. Nobody says it in prison, but once they get out, they say, oh, it was good for me to go through that. It was good for our marriage to go through that because now we respect and love one another and our marriage is stronger than ever. It was good for me to lose that job because look where God has me today. It actually happened to me like that. I mean, everything I'm preaching right now, I don't even have to look at notes much because this is my life. I got passed over for management position and I said, I'm done. I'm going to quit because I'm the hardest working, the best employee you got, and you passed me for management position. Okay, so I went and started my own business. You lose. So he continued to improve. He continued to work for the glory of God. He learned how to respect authority. He continued to serve people. In prison, he continued to serve people. Next week, we're going to talk about two people he serves, and you'll see the kind of servant he became. But I got to go. Joseph didn't allow darkness to swallow the light that was in him. He didn't allow the darkness to swallow the light that was in him. The darkness, the fear wouldn't drive out the light. The betrayal, the accusation, that grief didn't drive out the light out of him. The imprisonment did not drive, his circumstances did not drive out the light. I hope today you get one thing, that no matter what, God, I will trust you. No matter what happens in my life, if I lose my rent or if I become rich, me and you, the Lord was with me because I'm with the Lord as well. I'm not leaving. How did Joseph survive the darkness? I have three suggestions of how you can survive the darkness. And they start with letter R, three R's. Rehearse, remember, and repeat. Preachers love those R's things. Rehearse. When you're going through the dark moment, and what will give you strength is to rehearse the promises of God in your life. What do you believe? What did God say? But it's not happening, and I'm getting old, and it's not happening. Continue to rehearse the promise. I believe Joseph rehearsed the dream that God has given him. He would remember that dream because that dream was like none other. You got to rehearse. I told you that already in a previous message, how the dreams that God gave us what sustained us through the hard moments. And I was so mad at those dreams. I was like, you got me into this. And I believe Joseph was like that. You got me into this. And yet, they were just there. No matter how much he wanted to forget them, they were there. Because a dream from God changes your DNA. A dream from God becomes a part of your DNA. It wraps itself around the information. Brother, you're going through stuff, but God is not done. I just felt like turning to you right now and just saying that there's going to be a victory in the end. And the calling of God is just going to explode. What God has promised in the beginning, he's going to do a lot greater than just watch. The word of the Lord for you. Hallelujah. So he continued to rehearse. When life gets hard, rehearse. When maybe the warden didn't treat him right or locked him up with everybody else, he rehearsed the promises of God. Bible is full of promises. Find some and rehearse them. One of the words, I want to increase Jesus in this place. I want Jesus to increase because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. So whatever I say, it's not because of my strength. It was his power in my life. I'm not that smart. I'm not educated. Nothing like that. It's the power of God.
The David says, your word makes me wiser than the people who teach me the word. How? Your word, it has power. Some people go to college and they can't do that, but God's word can do it in your life. Because it could give you wisdom. It could give you wisdom. Hallelujah. Rehearse the promises of God. In the dark, God gave me a word. Isaiah 55, 5. He said, surely you will call a nation you do not know. Don't put that. Nope. I'm just making this up. That's not a part of the notes. Yeah, this is just more. I'm flowing. Isaiah 55, 5 says, surely you will call a nation you do not know. And in the prison season, that verse would give me life. That someday I'm going to call to the people who, not of my birth. I'm doing it now. The accent, that's all God. That's all God. That's all God. That's all God. To God be the glory. And I hope you don't see me here. I hope you see Christ. I hope you don't think that I'm bragging about myself. I'm not. I'm nothing. If it was for me, I would be in jail. For what? Bad things. For what, he says. Stop that. Don't encourage me. Hey, tell him not to encourage. I hope you see Christ. Because he's the one who in you will do all these things. And I hope when he does it, you don't say it's me. Because when you decrease, he increases. When you increase, he decreases. It's like a cup. You put more of you, less than Jesus comes out. You drain yourself, Jesus fills it. That's it. I don't know how that works, but just a picture, word picture right there. He rehearsed the promises of God. There's like 365 promises. There's 7,000 promises in the Bible. 7,000 promises of God in the Bible. Find some for yourself and confess them. It could be 2-3 verses in the Bible, but find them and confess them. Like one of mine is, I can do all things. Because often I feel inadequate, and then I feel I can do all things. And then I know I can, because something inside there, Holy Spirit. Rehearse. Number two, remember. Remember the stories of faithfulness of God. If you don't have your own, find some of your parents, grandparents. Find some from the Bible. Watch this. The grandfather of Joseph was Abraham. Great-grandfather of Joseph was Abraham. He waited 25 years for the promised son. His grandfather, Isaac, waited 20 years to have Jacob. And God was faithful. Sarah was barren. His great-grandma was barren, didn't have any children till 90 years old. Do we have a 90-year-old? No. He remembered how his mother couldn't have children either for about 15 to 20 years. Who was his mother? Rachel. Everybody else in Rachel's life was having children but Rachel. He remembered the faithfulness of God to his great-grandfather Abraham, his grandpa Isaac, his father Jacob, to his mother Rachel, and that's what gave him strength. What do you remember about God when you're in a dark season? You have to, because the devil gives you thoughts if you don't make your own thoughts. Your mind cannot be empty. Either you will think the thoughts of God, you know, promises of God, or you will think other thoughts that are for your destruction, the thoughts the devil is using to make you quit. Amen. What are you going to do? So he remembered. He continued to remember. God was faithful to my great-grandpa, Abraham, Isaac, my grandpa, my dad, Jacob, my mom, Rachel. He will be faithful to me. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I believe the prison time made Joseph seek God more, pray more, fast more. I don't fast as much anymore. I should. I like the bacon. Somebody give us a pig, you know that?
I was thinking of keeping a little chunk. And I tried. I'm like, but life is different now. There's different seasons of life. I could fast then 4 or 5 days. I could pray in the morning. It's hard now. Life is just too good. Thank you, Jesus. Number three. So rehearse, remember, and number three, repeat. Just keep going over. Just keep repeating him. Prison changed Joseph for better. Amen. Prison made a 17-year-old, cocky, arrogant teenager who would brag about his calling into a servant leader. By the time God is done with you, you're going to be a different man. You're going to be a different woman. Somebody who God can use. Somebody who won't keep the glory for themselves. I believe in heaven, every human being will have scars. Why? Because I believe every human being who makes it there will have to fight in their life. Nobody will come in all perfect. And no, you will all have scars. Joseph had scars on his neck, on his wrists, on his ankles. Jesus has scars. I believe in heaven, your crown will be given for you. Paul says, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. And now God has prepared for me a medal. A crown. And not just for me, he says, but for everyone. God, Jesus is, he could have came in as an adult, did 3 years of ministry, saved everybody and just left. No, he had to be broken. Isaiah 53:7, and I'm just going to read this and this is what we're going to end. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, talking about Jesus. 700 years, written 700 years before Jesus came. That's three times of United States. How old is United States? He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before the shears and silent, so he opened not his mouth. Next verse. He was taken from the prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken, and they made him a grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Still don't understand that or like it even, but it's there. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities, their sins. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. You can't have a portion if you're not fighting. You can't have a medal in heaven or a crown in heaven if you never went through anything. Can't. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus is going to be in heaven, not because of privilege. He's the Son of God. That means privilege. You are privileged. Come on. Child of God. But he's not going to be there just because worship me and make my name above every name, because I'm Jesus. I'm the Son. I'm God. You know why Jesus has a name above every name? Because of what he has overcome. Of what the scars are proof. Of everything that he went through. That's Jesus. That's your Jesus. That's my Jesus. He's not going to be there because of privilege, but because of what he went through. That's why he has the name above every name,
where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. It's not for just being a son of God, but because what he has overcome. I believe everybody in heaven will be a veteran, war veteran. Everybody. And we'll share our stories of battles. Where'd you get this scar? Where'd you get that scar? Everybody is going to be a veteran. Not because they fought in physical battles here, but because they fought the spiritual battles. Fight the good fight of faith. And so here's my encouragement to you today. If you're going through a hard season, keep fighting. Keep surrendering, but never giving up. Keep surrendering, but never quitting. Keep letting the Lord teach you, but don't ever quit. No, don't ever give up. Don't ever say, I'm done with God. I don't like what he is doing. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet?
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.